going to do things just a little bit different than I normally do this morning. So if I fall flat on my face, you'll know why. The message is entitled Unity, as you can see. And that's just kind of in thinking where we are with the Sunday School kickoff and such. As the point is to be talking about who we are as a church. Who we are as a church. And what we are and a little bit of where we're going. And so it's stems from something for me. But when you think about unity, the scriptures do detail the kind of unity that we ought to have. Because you can have unity for good reasons or for poor. So being united as a church is not the same as when you get all the members of your team together, like say for the Eskimos or something, and you have unity on a football team. We're a little different than that. But we're similar in the fact that we might have a similar goal. They've all got the same goal. They've come together for a purpose. And so do we. So do we. To worship our leader, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to go where he sends us, do as he tells us. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, which I think I maybe have up there for you, John 17, or at least a portion of it, this is familiar to some of you where he talks about unity. I'm not going to dissect the whole prayer for you this morning. I know you've heard that kind of thing in the past, but you can see here where Jesus is saying this is something that was important to him for what the church was like. And he's praying. He says, I ask on behalf of these who believe in me through their word that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So this is when Jesus was on earth and he has this, what we call his high priestly prayer, thinking about his church, that it would be one. That's what he's saying. Be one. And the reason that he gives here is for the sake of testimony. So that the world can see. The world can see something different in the church. Because a bunch of football players might come together to be one for their single purpose. But it's not the same as when we come together, the testimony that we give to the world. Part of what is so unique about the unity of a church or the testimony that a church can have in the world is that God brings people in from all different walks. The scripture will say there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female in Christ. He brings us together to be one. So we don't look at us and say, well, we've got older people and younger people, or male or female, or we've got rich or we've got poor. That's not the point. Within the diversity that God brings together, we still manage to be one. It's tough. It can be tough to have unity amongst diversity. But even in our diversity, we can have a unity in Christ. And that is part of the testimony that the church is supposed to be to the world. That even though that person next to me or in the pew behind me has totally different politics than I have, or roots for a different team or whatever, we're united in Christ. And we become like a light then to the community, to the world. But we have to be united in the right things. There's two famous men in the scriptures that I want to set before you as an example who were united, but not necessarily in the right things. This was Herod and Pilate. Because the scripture tells us that in the day of Jesus, these two men were both politicians, and they were at odds with each other. They would have been almost as in competition with each other, but they gained a unique unity in their distaste for Jesus. Herod and Pilate became friends with one another that very day, for before that they had been enemies with each other, is what it says. So they're having these trials for Jesus to crucify him. Now this is the kind of unity that the world might have towards us. They are united in the fact that they are against us or against Christ. But we want to be united in a totally different way. I want to show you two other famous men from the scripture who had a different kind of a unity. And this is a unique way to see it. This is Paul and Silas from Acts chapter 16. And the kind of unity that they had, or how it manifests in them. When they were thrown in prison because of their testimony of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. We blazed right past it quick, didn't we? They threw them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So these two men had a unique kind of unity within their difficult situation, even in the prison. And they were unified in praising God. They were one, and they were one with the Father in this moment, and they were still able to worship. And because of that, they were a testimony to everybody who was in the prison. It's an interesting way to be unified. Now, I want to tell you a bit of a story. There's a picture up there that you can sort of see behind that. I'm gonna let you see it better here in just a minute, but I want to tell you a little bit about it. The story I'm going to tell you actually comes from a children's story in our library here. So if you like the story, or if you've read it to your kids, you can correct me after when I do it wrong. It's about a farmer named Herman who lived in Nebraska, and this story takes place about 1990. And he had a problem. He had this lovely barn, which was there a second ago, and every year it would flood. The barn sat too low. Every year the barn would flood. Sometimes he would go out to his barn. If the flooding was bad enough, he could get just about knee-deep water come in. It happened every year. It was unacceptable. So he was brainstorming and thinking about what can we do about the barn? How are we going to fix this? You know, they're just going to lift the whole thing up 18 inches? Or what are you going to do? He's got to do something to fix it. And apparently, he's having a meal with his family and just kind of talking out loud one day. He says, you know, I wonder how heavy the barn would be. Like, would we just pick it up and move it? And everybody laughed. Like, that's just silly. But he had one of his children was a logical thinker, mathematician in the back of his brain, that kind of a thing. And he thought, I wonder. And he went out to the barn and started counting boards. And he knew what every board should weigh. And he actually calculated it all, counted every single board, and calculated it all out. This is what the barn should weigh. Now, if we got enough people, he says, who could lift about 50 to 55 pounds each, it should only take about 344 people, and we can lift the whole barn and move it. Now, they did have a problem because in the little town they were in Nebraska called, I think it was called Bruno, there's only 144 people in the whole village. So a little bit tough to get that done. But they had a centennial coming to their town, and they knew people would be coming, and they spoke to their centennial committee and asked, do you think we could make our barn moving part of the centennial? And they did. And they got the 344 people that they needed. It was interesting. So the thing that was interesting to me is when you've got a project like this, but even for the church, if there's a problem, you can do little things to tweak it, can't you? Say, this will fix things. So if you've got too much water, maybe the solution is more sandbags or hay bales or something like this to just protect the barn when the water comes. Now, that's going to improve things a little bit, but it's not going to fix it. Maybe you could dig ditches, something like this, to try and drain the water off somewhere. There's got to be somewhere on the property that's lower than where they put the barn. I'm sure he must have credited that to his granddaddy or somebody. Who was the dummy that built the barn on the lowest piece of property? Whatever. But they knew none of these things were going to fix it. What they needed to do was move to higher ground. Now, this is a great vision for the church. When the church has unity and we come together and are focused on Christ, unified together on that single purpose, that's where we're moving, is to higher ground. Now, there's actually there's a little video of it. So the people who did this, who moved their barn, they collaborated. They're Christian people, and they purposefully collaborated with an adoption agency. I'm not trying to pitch adoption to you, but the end of the video might talk about that, just a smidge or whatever. So I'm just giving you a heads up. So they're nice Christian folks. Mr. Schnell is going to get that video for us. Are you able to get it right away, Jonathan or?
Herman and Donna Ostry had a farm outside of Bruno, Nebraska. Farmer Herman had a barn with a big, big problem. You see, every time it rained, Farmer Herman's barn would fill up with water. One night, he made a joke at the dinner table. If we had enough people, we could just pick the barn up and move it. Everyone laughed. Farmer Herman and Farmer Herman's son, Mike, figured that if they could get 344 people who could each lift about 55 pounds, then they can move the barn. So on July 30th, 1988, Farmer Herman used a microphone to help everyone know what they should do. When he told them to lift, the barn came up off the ground. Then they marched the barn in a new place that was dry and cozy. And it only happened because 344 people carried it together.
That's great. You see, what is amazing, like, when we try and do things on our own, right, we can usually only get so far. But it's amazing what can be done when we are together. Like, look, I'm sorry about this, but this is just perfect timing. We have Adventure Club happens in this church every year, and it is an incredible ministry. Kids that get saved through that ministry every year. And every year, we have some people who retire from that ministry, and we need more people. That's just the way it is every time. But we can't do that without enough volunteers. We need the church to come together to make these things happen. And they do. And it's to the glory of God when it does. Things that couldn't be done on their own. Now, this adoption agency that they hooked up with this, they do some stuff, and I stole some pointers from them about what some like life lessons about this. And one of the things that they were trying to capitalize on this is that if you're, like, they can be unified together, and that's all great, but if you're going to do something like this, move your barn, just like we're going to move our church, is you need to know where you're going. You need to know where you're going. So maybe they had a bit of a rut, they got water, they got a problem, they need to know where they're going. And they were going to higher ground. Now, as a church, it's no different for us. We need to know where we're going. And as a body, there's no other place other than higher ground for us as well. We're moving towards the Lord, always moving towards the Lord. It's nice to move towards this community project or towards this other thing over here, but always, 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 there's one key focus of the Lord that we need to be moving towards. Now, they even showed you in that little video there that when they pulled this stunt off, Farmer Herman is one of the few people in attendance who didn't actually lift. You know why he didn't contribute and lift in his own barn? He was holding the bullhorn, giving the orders. And again, when you have unity, even as a church, we have to be listening to the guy with the bullhorn. So for our church, who is the guy with the bullhorn? And don't say me. Who is it? Like, this is Sunday school morning. Somebody knows. Somebody's got a Sunday school answer for this one. It's Jesus, right? Of course. Jesus is our guy with the bullhorn, and we need to follow him. Look at a couple of these scriptures here. If I can make that go now that I got back off video setting. Where are we going? To the higher ground? Good. And here's the scripture I wanted. I got two of them like this. Ephesians 4, 13. It says, For the equipping of the saints and the work of service, until we all attain to unity of the faith. And that's our theme this morning, unity. This is what the church is about, equipping of the saints for the work of service, till we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness in Christ. If we're going to succeed in having some semblance of unity, we need to be following our leader, to be maturing in our faith. And this comes, it says, even from knowledge of the Son of God. That's part of what we're here today, right? And we study God's Word so that together we know what Jesus has to say to us. We know where he's leading us. so that we're not pulled in 16 different directions about what's going on. Look at this similar passage from Philippians 2:2, where he says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, united, maintaining the same love, united in the same, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Now there's one who has authority to have the bullhorn, who has the authority to lead us. There's only one. It reminds me of a story. I don't remember who this happened to. I don't remember if this happened to Roy or who this happened to. There was somebody that had cattle. And I don't know how often this happens, but it's like somebody from the Department of Agriculture wanted to come out and observe things on their farm. I don't know if this is like a random thing or what the deal is with this. But this fella came out and he says, I need to do like safety check, whatever, this kind of thing. I need to check things out on your farm. So I need access to all kinds of things, and he's looking around. And the farmer says, that's fine, you can look here. And he says, but you can't go over in that field. And the guy's thinking, no, I can go wherever I want. He says, well, I don't think you should go. But, you know, he's thinking, what have you got hidden back there? And so he shows him, he says, you see this badge I've got from the Department of Agriculture? This says that I can go wherever I want on your farm. I've got the authority to do this. So, but I don't think you should go in the field. I go wherever I want. Okay. So he's looking around, and of course now he's very suspicious of this field because the farmer was trying to keep him out of it, so he's got to go check this out. He goes out into the field, and he gets wandering, trying to get over the knoll to see if there's something hidden back there. And next thing you see is the man from the Department of Agriculture running back over the field towards the fence because the bull is chasing him. And the farmer just started hollering out to him, show him your badge! Show him your badge! The one who's got authority to be there. Jesus is the one who's got that authority for us. He's our leader. And what he does is, even in the scripture, he tells us that we are bought with a price. We are no longer our own. He's got all kinds of titles for us. We're children of God, but we're also ambassadors of God. And he calls us and he says, now you're my ambassador, and as a church, you'd be one if you're working together, going in the right direction, going out and telling others about me. Now, that's one of the other things that came up in all of this. When they had this wonderful idea that maybe we can pick up the barn and move it. Of course, their family is not big enough. But maybe we can recruit our friends and everybody in our community. But even that, even if they got everybody, wasn't big enough. They needed to recruit people. Now, our leader calls us to this. We're called to do the work of evangelists. We are called to share the light and the truth of Jesus Christ to a world that needs it. Now, these people could go out and recruit bodies to come help them lift their barn. Surely we can go out and recruit people with the greatest news the world has ever heard, that Savior has come, peace with God can be attained, security of knowing an eternity in heaven as opposed to hell can be theirs for free. Surely we can share this good news. Now, one of the other answers for unity, this is just a scripture that I wanted to look at, has to do with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is sort of like the glue that can hold everything together. In part, here we see the scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, where it says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The Holy Spirit. One other scripture just like this from 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 13 says, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of the same one Spirit. This is one of the things that unifies us, this bond of peace by the Spirit. The bond is like the glue of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have an illustration from Farmer Herman. I wonder if I have a picture of the barn again or not. Oh, I can't even make it move now. Can you move me one, Mr. Schnell, just so I can see what's next, please? There we go. Oh, there, that's wonderful. There's something there in that picture I'd like you to take note of. I don't think they talked about it in that little video, but do you see all those rods sticking out of it? Now, Farmer Herman is blessed to have a smart son, smart enough to know that if we just try to pick the thing up, old barn liable to just collapse. So they did something unique to try and make the thing go. And he took all these steel rods, and they ran steel rods through the barn to make like an infrastructure, a kind of a skeleton that would help hold the thing together when they picked it up. Now, it added a whole bunch of weight, which meant adding more people. But once they got it all in there, they could pick the barn up and they could move it, and it held together. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to do a work like that for us within the body. Because we've got differences and things, and you know, one person's teaching here, one person's teaching there, doing different things in our different lives. But the Holy Spirit is like that infrastructure which holds us together if we are reliant on the Lord. The Holy Spirit is doing it for us as long as we are not quenching him. And I want to give you an example that I already made mention of earlier when I talked about the kind of unity that Paul and Silas had when they were thrown in jail. I want you to think about that kind of a scenario for a second. If you were out ministering with somebody and the two of you were captured and thrown in prison, it'd be very, very tempting to grumble in a moment like that, wouldn't it? Now look where this has got us. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to be here forever till we're dead? Or what's, does anybody even know we're here? Who knows? It'd be all kinds of different ideas that could come up. How are we going to get out of this mess? Should we call somebody? Should we petition? Should we try and break out? What should we do? And be easy for two who are unified in a purpose with the Lord, all of a sudden be at each other's throats and being torn apart because a trial has come, a problem has come. But the Holy Spirit, if he's not being quenched amongst us, can see us through any kind of a problem like that. And things don't need to collapse. They don't need to collapse. In fact, just like Paul and Silas in prison, can thrive. And even in the middle of their problem, people were saved in the jail because they were unified in the Spirit. The Scripture says this is the kind of people that we need to be. Mr. Schnell, if you want to get me caught up to, I have a slide for John 4:24, please. Can you do that for me? Jesus said these are the exact kind of worshipers that he's looking for. Those who worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. This kind of unity as a church, this kind of unity in the spirit, is activated in part as we worship together. As we come together and worship together. It's one of the reasons even that we will do meet and greet and this kind of a thing, and we connect together as a body in the same one spirit. Now, I want to go back to the very first thought of application I had with regards to Farmer Herman. If you're moving a barn, you need to know where you're going. And where we're going is higher ground. And I wanted to show you a scripture on this because the ultimate aim for the church, and should be for us as individuals, is the glory of God. That's where higher ground is. The glory of God. Really, as believers, there's everything else should be secondary in our life other than the prayer, God, what can I do today that will glorify you? Lord, give me the kind of life that brings glory to Jesus, not glory to me or to whatever else, but glory to Jesus. Scriptures from Romans chapter 5, verses 5 to 7 says, now may God grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So we're called to live in harmony in Christ, to glorify God for the glory of God. So our church, as we come together, it's not about us. It's not about how the music made me feel today. How did the preacher make me feel today? It's not about me or that kind of a thing. It's about being here for the glory of God and lifting high the name of Jesus. That's what we should be thinking as we come today and any Sunday. Our diversity is an opportunity for God to show the world we have the bond of unity in spirit and in love in ways that the world could never do, that it could never do. I think we are a church on the move. And where we are headed is for higher ground. And what an opportunity we have to show the world that the man with the bullhorn for us, Jesus, knows the way, has all the power, and he can put us together for things that the world would never fathom. So let's just wrap it up with a word of worship in prayer and thanksgiving to our God that he's leading us towards higher ground. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, you are a good, good, rich, rich blessing. There's nothing else we want but you. We want to see your glory manifest in your church, for you to have your way. Father, we worship you because we are a saved people. Lord, help us to live as your ambassadors. We truly desire that the light that you have given for us and for this church would just be ablaze with your truth, of your word, and your Holy Spirit. Do mighty works amongst us, Lord, that we might be moving into the future, into this year, always onward and upward towards higher ground, that Jesus' name would be exalted and glorified. And we'll give you all the praise and thanksgiving. Amen.